is you need to complete these sentences. Ready? I'm at the end of my... Oh, man, you guys, wow. I'm coming... Unglued. My life is falling... Okay. I'm at my wits... All right. I'm really stressed. All right. How about the last one? I'm ready to throw in the... All right. I think you guys are pros at this. Except for that one. That was a little weird. I think it's pretty amazing. And that's why we're continuing the series, Extreme Makeover Heart Edition. We're looking at today balance, the value of balance and how valuable it is. How many of you would love to live a more balanced life? I know I sure would. Because sometimes it gets crazy, absolutely crazy. But you know what's funny? I have yet to meet a totally balanced person. Now, you might start out good. You know, we make those things, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. We start out really good, but then, you know, it might last 3 or 4 minutes. And then, or days or whatever it is. You know, I think it's kind of funny. They say that the average New Year's resolution lasts 10 days. So I think that's... is anybody still working on their New Year's resolutions for the ones they had for this year? Anybody? Nobody. I'm not either. So that's why I quit making them about 7 years ago. Just said, you know, we're not going to do that. You know, most of us live pretty unbalanced lives, and I think it's easy to do that. You know, because of everything that we have going on. And but I do believe that this is one of the areas, at least for me personally, that I've got to work on the most, is to try to get balance. And see, the principle of balance is one of those basic laws and fundamentals that God established the whole entire universe on. It's one of those things. Every nook and cranny, every single thing in the entire universe is built around this principle of balance. Everything working together. For instance, the Earth is in its perfect balance. It's in its perfect orbit. It's tilted on its axis just right. It's the right tilt, right distance from the sun. If we were any further away or closer, we'd either burn up or freeze. Man, that's balance. That's balance. God intended it that way. And then if we look at nature, you know, the very nature that we live in, if we take a look at that, nature in and of itself is in balance. God set up the food chain with plants and animals in harmony in the earth. The animals eat the plants and the humans eat the animals. And some plants sometimes. And then there's some animals that eat some humans, you know. I guess it depends on where you go and how big they are. And so this whole idea of ecosystems and how they work together, it's called symbiotic, meaning everything kind of works together. And we're finding that even nature has this system of checks and balances that we're better off if we work with instead of trying to work against. And so it's kind of amazing how that is. And the deal is that if your life or my life is not in balance, it's going to crumble. It's going to fall apart. The human body was built on the principle of balance. Your body has 11 different systems inside of it. And the idea of balance. We have a circulatory system and a respiratory system and a central nervous system and a digestive system. The one we love the most, the reproductive system. It's okay, you can laugh. The skeletal system, all those systems, they're in balance with each other. And if any one of them gets out of balance, then it has an effect on all the other ones, some way, somehow. Because they all interwork together. And when our life gets out of balance, when our body gets out of balance, we call that disease. It's called disease. Likewise, health is an issue with each system in the body working to its fullest potential. That's health. And when the systems are all in balance, it's health. And healing is a recovery of balance in the body. God loves balance. He really does. And he's interested in you and I living balanced lives. As a matter of fact, in the Old Testament, in Psalm 127, verse 2, it says this, "It's senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night. God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest." Sounds like what my mom used to say to me, "Jeffrey, you need to get your rest. because then you'll be crabby in the morning if you don't, or something like that. Funny thing was, I was never crabby in the morning. I'm rarely crabby in the morning. Well, maybe a little more, but you know. Well, the bottom line is this, is that when my life is out of balance, my body's out of balance, and I'm not in God's will for me. Because it's not God's will for me or you or anybody to live an imbalanced life. And when I'm not in balance and my life is stressed, my body copes with it. This thing called sickness, a disease, ravages havoc on my body. And our bodies can't take that stress over the long haul. It has a way of making us sick or killing us. 3 weeks ago, my son-in-law and I, we were up in the Upper Peninsula doing some backpacking at Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore. And it was awesome. My son-in-law had never been there. And I was excited to go again because over the last 17 years, I've gone end-to-end four times. It's a 42-mile deal. And just love it. It's great. So Dave and I get away for a couple of days, and we're just kind of hanging out. And we did what's called the Chapel Loop, which is Chapel Rock, Chapel Beach, you know, just that whole area in there, which has some of the most amazing scenery in the entire Pictured Rocks Lakeshore, as far as I'm concerned. I believe that Pictured Rocks is one of the most top 100 places that you have to visit and backpack before you die, my personal opinion. You know, but it was amazing. Afterwards, on the way back, we stopped in Frankenmuth for the Oktoberfest celebration. And so we had soft Bavarian pretzels and some decent German beer. And that was great, you know. It was a great time sitting around at the celebration, you know, listening to the Michigan game. And I think they actually won that one. And just, you know, having a good time, kind of kicking back. But besides being sore from getting back from backpacking, I was good, you know. But a few days after returning home, and that, I wasn't feeling too well. I was kind of feeling ragged out and just kind of lethargic and run down. And sleeping was something I was doing a lot of, and it just didn't seem like I could get enough of it. And, you know, I just generally felt crappy, you know. Just was like, ugh, it was awful. Well, I was slated to speak that next Sunday. Here in church, you know, and so I had a difficult time getting through the services. As a matter of fact, at the second service, I had to leave during the music because I just couldn't stand anymore. I went in my office and I was just feeling terrible. I was extremely hot, as in not feverish, but I was sweating profusely, and I just couldn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out what was going on. And so I decided that maybe it was time to go see some professionals. And my wife said, I've been telling you that for a long time. Anyways, and so, you know, get some more insight into what's going on inside of me. You know, what's going on inside the body. And because my body was obviously stressed and it was showing signs of it. And so I go to the doctor and he says, you know, looks and that. And I'm retaining water in my legs. They're red. He also noticed my high blood pressure, surprise. He also noticed that my 5'8" frame had the most weight on it in my entire life. And I said, well, I just got back from backpacking. and then add to that the blood work that showed elevated cholesterol, which I've never had, and bad eating habits. And guess what? I was a bomb waiting to explode, literally. I don't know about you, but for me, going to the doctor is an experience. Especially when you're almost 50 years old. You know, he had asked me when my last exam was. And we know that means prostate. And I said, about 9 years ago when I was 40. He said, well, we're going to have to check that out today. And I said, I didn't come here for that. So I'm in my mind trying to figure out how to deal with that whole thing. And so I said, okay, whatever. So we did the exam, and it was just as humiliating as I remember it was 9 years ago. And usually when I'm feeling a little off or feeling a little pressured, I'll ask a lot of questions, and so I was asking him some questions. I said, look, I know it wasn't too exciting for me, it's kind of humiliating, but what was the purpose of this? You know, as I'm getting back dressed. And so then he goes on to tell me, you know, about how you know, they have to examine all that. And I said, and so what did you find? And he said, well, we found that you're okay. And I said, well, I could have told you that without the exam. But he said, well, it's always better to check. Of course he'd say that. Well, the discovery, the doctor's visits and the tests and all that other stuff showed me that my body, my life was an imbalance. And not being in balance caused stress to my body. And I needed, just like we all need, proper food, proper rest, proper exercise, proper connection to my family, my wife, my kids, connection to God. You know, they all work together synergistically, or that they work together. Everything affects something else. So it's what's called a symbiotic relationship. They all work together. You know, these are, and so what I've realized today, and especially dealing with this issue of balance, is that what I'm going to be sharing with you isn't rocket science, and it isn't anything new, but it's something that, just like me, I need to hear over and over again. And maybe you need to hear it too. So how is it that I can maintain balance? Or how is it, if I'm out of balance, I can get back to balance? Or how is it, if I've never had balance in my life, that I could somehow find it again? So that's what we're going to talk about. And so we're looking at the word balance, you know, B-A-L-A-N-C-E. I think that's how you spell it. That's why I use spell checker. But the B in balance means build my life around Christ. That's where I have to start. I have to build my life around Christ. Because, quite frankly, I believe, as I read the scripture, he was the only totally balanced person that ever lived. Therefore, if I put him in the center of my life, it stands to reason that I have a better chance of being balanced. So that's kind of a starting point. But see, the thing is that we need to think of our life more like a wheel than we do in compartments. Us guys, we compartmentalize our life. We have my work life here. I have my home life here. I have my recreation over here. I have my other pursuits over here. And then, you know, I have my go crazy time here. And the funny thing with guys is that we live in these compartments. And when I'm in the work compartment, nothing else matters. When I'm in the home compartment, I don't think about too much except maybe work. When I'm in the other pursuits or recreation, you know, it's just amazing how that happens. And you know why that is for guys? You know, right now some of you ladies are going, yeah, that's true. I see that in my husband all the time. You know why that is for guys? It's because we can only use half of our brain at once. It's true. Because the nerve endings that separate the two lobes, the nerve endings were severed, so we can only use half of our brain at one time. And the ladies are going, I knew that. I just so totally knew that. And it's exactly what's happened. Whereas ladies, on the other hand, can flow between both sides. Now, before they get thinking all smart, they too can only use part of their brain. Because technically, we only use less than 10% anyways. You know, there's the rest of it that's all kind of there that we haven't really figured out yet. But it does other things. And so it's kind of amazing how all that works and how that works together. But I need to build my life around Christ. You know? And so how do you know what your life is centered around? Simple. What do you think about most? What do you think about most? Whatever you think about most, chances are that's in the center of your life. You see, the center of your life is very, very important. Because if you have a solid center, you're going to have a solid life. If you have a weak or flimsy center, you're going to have a life that's kind of crumbling and falling apart. So it's important that it's solid. And if you have anything except Jesus in the center of your life, at that hub, at the core, you've got a power shortage. Because you're not going to have the power to make it through all the things you need to make it through in your everyday life. From week to week and month to month and year to year. So allow Jesus at the center. Allow Jesus to be that hub, because he gives stability and he gives control and he gives power to you and I. As a matter of fact, he said these words in Matthew 6 in the New Testament. God will give you all you need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So what does it mean to put God first? Don't think of it in terms of first place and second place and third place. That's where we get messed up. Think of, back to that wheel again, the hub. Putting Jesus first means putting him in the center of our life. Because if he's the center, then it will strengthen the spokes, which are the various aspects, my work and my marriage and my kids and my relationships and my physical body and all the other things are exactly what those spokes are. So what's in control of your life? What's the power source for your life? What's in the center? Because if it's Jesus, he can empower us. He can give us the power we need. He can give us the strength we need to make it through. You see, Jesus summarized our two life priorities in Matthew 22, where he says, Love the Lord your God with all your heart. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so in essence, he's summarizing the entire Bible in that phrase right there where he's saying, love God, love people. If that's the only thing we get done in our life, loving God and loving people, then we've done the most important things in our life. So I first need to build my life around Christ. Secondly, I need to accept my humanity. Accept my humanity. That means I need to stop pretending that I'm God. And we all do that in different areas of our life. I have to stop pretending I have all the answers or I can solve everyone's problem or that I can meet every need. People who are pleasers and have that in them to please people really struggle big time with this, but we all struggle some way or another in trying to fulfill everyone's expectation. I have to recognize that I have limitations. I'm a human being. I'm not Superman or Supermom or Superdad. And when you and I play God, we always end up overworking. It's sad, but it happens. It does. In the Old Testament, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 15, it says this, only someone too stupid to find his way home would wear himself out with work. I love that. Listen to that again. Only someone too stupid to find his way home would wear himself out with work. In essence, what they're saying is it's dumb to wear yourself out with work. It's dumb to overwork because when we overwork, we're playing God. Because we're saying it all depends on me. It's all going to crash and crumble and fall down. Many moms fall into this. Many single parents fall into this. No, it's not you. No, you're not the general manager of the universe. It's been operating long before you got here, and it'll operate long after you're gone. So we need to just release control that we've got to do it all. And we have to accept our humanity. As a matter of fact, one of the popular rock, Christian rock groups, Jars of Clay, their name comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which is in the New Testament, where Paul says, he wrote it, we hold God's gifts in our lives in jars of clay. And see, in that passage, he's comparing our lives to clay jars. He says we're human beings and we're feeble and we struggle and we're fragile. Jars of clay break easily. And so you have to be careful of how you handle them and what you do with them. If you drop them, they splatter all over the place. And so clay pots have to be handled with care. They have to be handled appropriately. And the same is true of you and I. If we need to handle our lives appropriately. In Psalm 119, listen to these words. You made my body, Lord. Now give me sense to heed your laws. So I need to accept the frailness of my humanity. The third thing I need to do is I need to limit my labor. Limit my labor. Meaning make time for other things besides work. Now, that doesn't mean work an hour and then take seven off or something. You know, you got to decide how many hours you're going to work, especially people who are self-employed. Man, you can work from sunup to sundown, or people who have their work from home. It's so easy to always have the office there. I remember early on that's how it was for me. It was like the office was always there. Work was always there. It's still like that for me, you know? And so we've got to just figure out how we're going to work and how many hours we're going to work and what we're going to do. And not take home work home with us. You know? It's so important. We've got to slow down. We've got to take a break. You see, what I'm talking about is a real important thing. It was so important that God put it in the Ten Commandments. It's right up there with, you know, have no other gods, don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery. It's the fourth commandment in Exodus 20. It says, you have 6 days in which to do your work, but the seventh day is to be a day of rest dedicated to me. Of all the things God had to say, he said, work 6 days and take a seventh one off. Don't work all the time. You know why? Because God wired you and I up. He wired our bodies up to have a rhythm of rest. It's kind of like music. Now, I never studied music, but I know enough about music to know this, that in musical scores, there's places called rests. And those rests are there for a purpose. Because it balances out that particular musical piece. And so rests are purposes for our life as well, because it balances out the rest of our life. It's the principle that's called the Sabbath. A Sabbath simply means a day of rest. And God expects you and I to observe observe a day of rest, a Sabbath. Why? Because Jesus said that the Sabbath was made to benefit man. It was made to benefit you and me. It's for our benefit. And it doesn't matter what day you take. Too many times the church has said, it's got to be Sunday, it's got to be Sunday, it's got to be Sunday. Before you believe in that lie, here's the deal. The Sabbath, if you read in the New Testament of the Bible, Colossians 2, you know, it says, God doesn't care what day you take. Paul wrote these words, let no man judge you by what you eat or what you drink, your celebrations, your new moon festivals, or your Sabbath. They are a shadow of what's to come. The reality is in Jesus. You know, and so you're just supposed to take a day and rest. I'm sorry. Sunday for me is not a Sabbath. Hasn't been for 20 years. Saturday for me isn't a Sabbath. You know when my Sabbath is? Monday. I don't know why people don't like Mondays. I love them. It's great. I look so forward to it. But what are we supposed to do on our Sabbath? Are we supposed to catch up on all the things we couldn't get done during the week? No. You know what we're supposed to do on the Sabbath? Really three things. Rest our bodies. That's kind of easy. Really, literally what that means is sometimes one of the most spiritual things we can do on the Sabbath is sleep because it recharges us. Second thing is we're to recharge our emotions. And that means get with people who are important to us. If you're married, that should be your spouse. Your kids, you know, that kind of stuff. Spend some time with them. Recharge your emotions. And then the third thing is refocus your spirit. Why do you refocus your, or how do you refocus your spirit? It's this principle that's in the scripture over and over again called worship, which means I'm looking to God and giving him the honor and the praise and the glory that he deserves because it helps me put everything else back in perspective and keep things balanced. And so that's what God wants us to do. And that's why it's totally important that we limit our labor. The fourth thing we need to do is adjust our values. The reason we need to do this in our lives is because sometimes our values and the things that we value are out of balance, and then it causes our lives to be out of balance. Ecclesiastes 4:4 says this, I've learned why people work so hard to succeed. It's because they envy the things their neighbors have. You know? God says basically you got two options when it comes to this kind of thing. You can either spend all of your time keeping up with the Joneses. Sorry, Dave and Colleen, that doesn't mean you guys. So you can spend all your time keeping up with the Joneses or your next door neighbor or whoever it is. Or you can just say forget about it and reduce your stress 90%. Choice is yours. You know? And it's funny how many times it just comes to a choice like that. And the thing is that we can't do both at the same time. We try, but we can't. It doesn't work that way. Jesus said this, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Wow. I'd like to say it like this. What good is it for a man to become president of the company only to lose his wife and kids? What good is it for a woman to get the career promotion that she wants to lose her husband and her family? What good is it for a man to gain the entire world yet forfeit his whole soul? Because that's what happens. What happens is you and I become possessed by our possessions, by the things we possess. And the things that we think we are managing are really managing us. They control us. And in Ecclesiastes 4:6, just two verses down from the last one, it says, it's better to have only a little with peace of mind than to be busy all the time. Think about that. It's better to have only a little and have peace of mind than to be busy trying to manage everything, you know? And I think it's so true because what do we want to sacrifice for our sanity? So we need to adjust our values. Fifth thing, need to nourish our inner life. Our inner life. And that's a real important thing to balancing our life is nourishing it. You know, feeding that fire that God's placed in us. Because God's placed a fire in each of us, a passion in each of us. And the thing is that if we don't tend to that fire, it's just like a campfire. It'll burn out, and then the coals will burn down to cool embers. And it's so difficult. As a matter of fact, in Song of Solomon, it said this, I had no time for myself. Have you ever felt that way? Never having any time for yourself or struggling with time? And I think most of us can relate to that. I sure can. you know, feeling like you've got no time. And when you're feeling that way, I want to remind you of something. It's a warning light. It's just like a light on the dashboard of your car that says, check engine, or that says, oil pressure, down to zero. It means at that point, turn the car off, get off to the side of the road. There's something going on. When we have a deal like this going on, that we're feeling like we have no time for us, it's a warning light that God's pre-programmed into us to say, it's time to stop your life and take a look and reevaluate. Because you're moving in the wrong direction and it's going to destroy you. And yet we live in a society that tells us that's how we're supposed to live. From the outside in. So we have our things like our perfectly manicured lawns. We have our very nice homes. And again, none of this stuff is bad. We have everything in order. We have the garages with all the tools numbered and labeled. And then we have a direct reference to the spreadsheet on our laptop computers through Excel so we know where everything is. That's control. That's power. When on the inside, we're literally dying. You see, God says, live from the inside out. Because what's inside you will eventually come out. And that's the best way to live. Because we live by really what's inside of us. So my question to you is, what is it that you're neglecting in your life right now out of a sense of ought or a sense of business or a sense of whatever? What is it that you stopped paying attention to or stopped doing completely because maybe you're just too busy? Maybe it's praying. Maybe it's dating your spouse. You know, once you're married, you're still supposed to date each other. Maybe it's spending time with God. Maybe it's going to church. Maybe it's a whole host of other things. Maybe it's playing catch with your kids. Maybe it's just stopping to smell the roses because life is just passing you too by, too fast. Maybe it's that friend that you haven't talked to in a long, long time, but you need to. So what is it you've stopped doing because you're just too busy? Chuck Swindoll said in his book, Growing Strong Through the Seasons of Life, he said this, or he was talking about actually... This one time he went to a beautiful home that had a stone fireplace and they had a handmade wood hearth. Mantle, not hearth there. And there was hand, he could see from the distance that he was that there was something carved by hand in it. There were some words. And so he walks up to it and the words over this fireplace said this, if your heart is cold, my fires cannot warm you. You see, a 3-car garage can't warm your heart. A promotion at work can't warm a cold heart. A 2-week vacation to someplace nice, just like we saw here, some exotic place, can't warm your cold heart. Well, you know what will warm a cold heart? It's a relationship to Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. In Psalm 119, verse 16, it says, I will delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. If you're finding that the fires in your life has gone out, then get back in contact with Jesus. Allow him to begin warming you up again and warming up that cold heart of yours again. I had to do it. And so to be balanced, you have to nurture your inner life. Number 6, you got to commit your schedule to God. Commit your schedule to God. And that's an everyday sort of thing. You know, some of us make lists and we've got, you know, all the things that we have to do today. And we've got to come to the realization, the fact that God is not always going to cooperate with our schedule. We would like him to, and we'd love him to be this little God that we could manage and you know, he would just perform when we need him to. But he doesn't. That's not him. It's not how he functions. We need to be reminded in Psalm 31, verse 15, my times are in your hands. Our times are in God's hands, and he wants to direct the course of our life. And when we live by that verse, we'll see our stress levels begin to decrease and go down. When I understand that God knows what I'm supposed to be doing. He knows what I'm supposed to be doing today on Sunday. He knows what I'm supposed to be doing tomorrow and Tuesday and on. And so if you want your stress level in your life to go down, allow yourself to be bendable and flexible to God's working in your life. Give your schedule to God. Commit your schedule to him. And there's one last key, and I believe that it'll help your life stay in balance. And it's this, enjoy each moment. or a way that I've said in my family, and I've had them say to me, and I've said it from up here before, you know, enjoy the journey. Enjoy every process of life. Because you and I just have just enough time to do God's will for our life. And if we're finding that there's more things in our schedule to do than we have time for, then guess what? It means one of two things. Either there's more things on the list that God didn't want me to do, or I'm doing them wrong. Because God would never give us what we need to do in our life and never give us the time to accomplish it. So maybe some of the things that are on the list are stuff we put on there. And I'm classic for overpacking my schedule with stuff. And so sometimes those things are there by my own choosing. And so I can't ever forget that I've got to stop and enjoy the process of life. The scripture says it this way: all of us should enjoy what we've worked for is God's gift. It's God's gift. You see, God sets two goals in life, and simply this: one, to get to know Him, for us to have a relationship with Him, and two, for you and I to share what our gifts, to share our talents, to share our abilities with other people, to serve them. And while we're doing it, we should enjoy the journey. We should enjoy the process. We should enjoy every moment of it. You see, you and I can take Christ out of the center of the hub of that wheel called our life, and we can put something else in as a priority, whatever that something else could be. And when we do that, it's not only Jesus we're missing, but it's also the power to accomplish what God's called us to accomplish. Got to get it back in balance. And again, this is nothing new we're talking about, as I said on the onset. But knowing it doesn't mean you're doing it. Me teaching it doesn't mean I'm living it. But it means something that I'm striving for is something I'm trying to do. And there's two reasons I believe that we find ourselves under stress. One, we try to do too much, and two, we try to do it in our own power, in our own strength. And both of those are killers. I'm living proof of that. We need to get plugged back into God's power. And Jesus offers us the exchange program for that to happen. In Matthew 11, Jesus says, "Come to me, all of you who are tired and have heavy loads, and I will give you more to do." No. And yet many churches, when you go to them, they give you more to do. Let's pack your schedule with more stuff. Serve here and do this and give here and do that. And you're going, my goodness, I really don't have a life. And some of us are convinced that if we totally turn our lives over to God, that's exactly what's going to happen. He's going to give me more to do. But the fact is, God will exchange your pressure with His peace and His power. Because He says, "Come to me, all of you who are tired and have heavy loads, and I'll give you rest. The load I give you to carry is light." And see, we need to remember that. If you're carrying a heavy load, you need to remember that. That load's not from Jesus. That load's not from God. Because He doesn't place heavy loads. His load is light. Because He says right there, right in that scripture there on the screen, "The load I give you to carry is light." And God will never put more on you than He puts in you to bear up. We put more on ourselves, but He'll never do that. So let's go to God and allow Him to straighten us out and allow Him to help us begin the process of balance in our lives. Let's pray. God, we thank You for today. We ask that You give us the courage to be and strive for this thing called balance. Help us with the things that we struggle with, our schedules and our life and the fast pace of what we're doing. Help us with kids to begin to help them manage and slow down so that they don't become just as twisted as we are, God. But God, we come to You and we just ask that You give us the courage to make the tough choices. You give us the courage to ask You, as we're looking at our life, the things that need to be changed, and You give us the courage to make those decisions. God, I pray for all the single parents out here who are wrestling and playing both parts. Lord, that You give them Your place of rest and You help them to see what they need to see. That You help all of us who are struggling with time constraints and pressures, God, to put it into Your hands and regain once again that balance, the balance of our bodies, the balance of our souls and our spirits. We ask, come, Lord Jesus, help us. In Your name we pray. Amen.